it's very natural for people to expect a kind of continuity of experience. We think if we do something well once, we'll do it well again the next time. We imagine that there is some sort of accumulated expertise that expresses itself in every action. And I think we often become very disappointed when we discover that we're not so perfect in that way. Every time I sit down to write a movie script, even though I've written many before, each time is difficult. Each time is unexpectedly challenging. Because I've done it before doesn't prepare me for what's coming that time. The only thing that's different the 10th time from the first time is that you understand in a certain way the pattern of the process. So you don't get quite as fearful or frustrated. You simply go, this is how it works. Yes, I have to write a bad scene in order to write a good scene. I have to create a shallow character before I can find a deeper character. And what I've told myself over the years is that in creation, look at a baby being born, and a baby emerges in the world, and what does it look like? It's the most god-awful mess you can imagine. It's covered in white gunk and blood, and I mean, you look at it and you go, is that mine? Or you don't even know what it is, and that's when it's when you're having your own child, but even somebody else's child, it's like, you know, you kind of are shocked by the messiness of it. And then someone takes the baby away and they clean it up, they take all this stuff off, and they bring it back to you, and it's like, it's beautiful, truly beautiful. And all of our creative product is the same thing. It all comes out looking awful until we work it through. And it just takes time. Sometimes you've got to work it through many, many times, sometimes just a couple of times, and it's there. You never can expect it to be the same thing twice. And I mention that because meditation is not a lot different than that. People sit down to meditate and they think, well, I had a great class last week or yesterday, so this has got to be a great class, and whatever a great class means to you. But usually a great class means some kind of pleasurable experience. You sit down and you find peace or joy or expansiveness or love. And you go, okay, now I've graduated to the level of joy and peace and love, and then the next time you sit down, you're in the worst place imaginable. You can't get anywhere near those things. For some reason, you're cut off, your mind is agitated, your body feels strange, you don't feel like you've ever sat before in your entire life, and you start to become very self-critical in the process of sitting, and your meditation tends to devolve into something that's very disappointing, and you finally end up telling yourself everything else must be a lie because whatever you did before doesn't matter because this time is not working. And you create this very difficult conundrum for yourself, and we all do it, which tells us we're only as good as this time. And there's some vague truth to that. This time counts. I mean, it all counts on some level. I mean, you watch the guys on the Olympics who, you know, they've done it perfectly every time except in front of an audience. What does that mean? You know, 400 times right and one time wrong, and that's the important time, and that's meaningful in the world. And when you sit down to meditate, you know, it's not the Olympics, obviously, but you sit down, and in a sense, you bring yourself to this occasion, and then you find yourself in a less than perfect place. Well, one of the beautiful things, and I refer to the Olympics a lot during this period because, one, I'm watching them, and two, it's sort of, it's in the atmosphere. But these people who fall off the apparatus, You know what you feel when you watch that. It is such a sinking, sad feeling. They have worked so hard for this moment, and they just failed the moment. They failed it. And the great thing about the Olympics is that, in a sense, they are required to get back up and complete it. And you watch them. And what happens inside you, and it's really interesting if you watch yourself watching, is that your compassion is enormous. Your sense of appreciation of their heroism is enormous. It's almost bigger than for the person who got it right, because they are amazingly like you, meaning they're human. Pressure sometimes gets to them. Sometimes they fall. Sometimes they are humiliated in the fall. But what do? They get back up and they go back at it. And what do we celebrate, really? We celebrate the gold medal, yes, we celebrate a great achievement. But deep down inside, what we celebrate is the person who fails, if you will, or who struggles and comes back to the game and tries again as best as they can. What you learn in sitting in meditation over 40 years, and I have been sitting for 40 years, and at some point all of you will have sat for years. The great thing about sitting every day is you discover there are good days and there are bad days. There are days where you are transcendently beautiful and everything you do is impeccable and you don't even know how you did it. You sit there and you are in touch with God itself. You walk away from your meditation feeling holy. You walk away from your meditation feeling like this is all you ever want to do for the rest of your life. And the next time you sit, you're miserable. You can't find your way back. You don't know how you got there before. You're angry at yourself. And the value of having done this many times is you go, oh, this isn't working today. Oh, this isn't working well. I'm in a funny place. I'm not in a good place. Oh, okay. And it's kind of this acceptance of yourself in a place of less than perfect expression is a powerful, powerful force, because it means you accept yourself. You accept yourself in all of your manifestation, in your highest and your lowest, in your great attainment and in your failure, because we all experience everything. And because our society tells us we only can appreciate the success, the gold medal, and yet your body and your gut tells you you're appreciating the person who just fell off the apparatus. And you can appreciate yourself when you fall off or don't function completely well, because human life is exceedingly imperfect in its expression, and yet perfect in its truth. In other words, when you get it wrong and you forgive yourself for that, when you get it wrong and you don't function well and you go, aha, the mere act of forgiveness in that moment is the true spiritual dimension of the moment. It wasn't achievement. It wasn't touching God. It was forgiving yourself for not getting there. And that moment is the muscle of real spiritual development. And you can't get there with constant success. You can't. You have to find ways in which things don't work right, and you don't even have to find them, they come at you. And then you just have to go through this process of going, I am learning through this, I am growing through this, I am evolving through this. And after year upon year upon year of doing this, day after day after day, you become very, very forgiving and allowing of yourself and your process. You simply go, this is what it is. The moment you do that, there is something real and deep that occurs within you, which again is the core value for sitting in a moment of failure. And that core thing that happens is you go, yes to the moment, yes to the imperfect moment. And the very fact of going yes to the imperfect moment makes it perfect. Now look at it. I've been there here 1,000 times. Some days you can't do that. Some days you can't go yes to the moment. You're really angry at yourself. You really get up and you bang yourself over the head and you go, well, that was a waste of time. I just spent 30 minutes sitting doing nothing except beating myself up when I could have been watching TV, reading the newspaper, or whatever else, and you feel like a real idiot. Give yourself 3 or 4 days. Watch the process, because sometimes it's not immediate. Sometimes it's just bringing yourself back to the game over and over and over. I have never done high bar in Olympics. I've never done anything of that nature, ever. But I can only imagine how many times you have to fall to get it right. You cannot just fall on occasion. You fall over and over. And not only that, you work at, if you're going to be a real medalist, you work at the edge of your ability. You don't do the same thing that you're good at over and over. I mean, some people do. But you work to push it. You want to go to the next level of what they call difficulty. The next level of difficulty is where you're going to fail all over again. So if you're sitting around going, I'm one of the great gymnasts of the world at this level, you're never going to stay a great gymnast because everybody else is working at the next level of difficulty. So luckily, they're all pushing you to do the same thing. Spiritual practice, meditation, is exactly the same thing. You cannot keep working at the same place. You can't sit down every time and just sit where you were, because ultimately it becomes rigid. It loses its plasticity because it is not being worked into something more established, if you will, more profound, more demanding. And so real spiritual work is working at the best of your ability and then working a little harder. Rudy said they always give you a little bit more than you can handle, meaning life or God or the universe. They always give you a little bit more than you can handle. And we all feel that. We all feel on certain days, I can't deal with this. It's too much. When a computer breaks again, you just go, I can't do it. I can't do this. But of course you can. Not only can you, you have to. You have to find a way to do it. And if you find the way of getting angry at everybody and screaming and yelling at the computer people and throwing the computer on the ground and doing all of that stuff, well, what happens? It complicates the whole process. The best approach, and you learn this after a while, is go, okay, now I get it. I know the problem. I know that I have to do this and I have to do that and call this person and take the computer in and take out the hard drive and do all of this stuff that one has to go through. And it happens much faster and much more easily if you are not screaming at everybody around you and being a mean human being to everybody who's in the sphere of your influence, because that's what most people do. Unconscious life, unconscious behavior is a endless expression of your frustration in the world. Conscious behavior is realizing that it's hard. And the universe makes it hard, and they will keep making it hard, and they will keep making it so you get a little bit better each time. They're not going to make it so hard that you now have to swim, you know, 50 yards in 20 seconds. None of us have to do that. There are a few people out there who have that level of mastery. We are not being called to that. We're not called to the 100-yard dash in 9 seconds. Most of us will do the 100-yard dash in 20 or 30 seconds. I used to do it in a minute, as I recall. And I was totally ashamed of that, but I came to realize that was not my particular gift. And and we all have a way that we're a place we can shine, and you have to figure out what that one is. But in spiritual work, everyone can shine every day. And it's bringing yourself to the edge, or recognizing that you're at the edge, because most of us are. You're at the edge, and things will come up. And how you respond to the things that come up will determine how well you make it through that next process. What comes up is someone says something you don't like, somebody creates tension around you, somebody demands more of you than you want to be demanded, something happens in life and you react to it, and you either react to it unconsciously or consciously. You either take a breath and say, fine, I can do that, or you get really angry at that person, and then you complicate the situation. You send out tension, and what happens when you send out tension into the world? You create what's called karma, because tension will come back at you, and that tension may create all sorts of drama, and that drama will compound itself, and you will be caught in the tension-producing mechanism of your life because you have not responded consciously to the world. If you respond consciously to the thing that's given to you, even if you don't like it, and most of the time you don't like it, when you respond to it consciously, say, okay, fine, you do it, what happens is you don't create karma. You don't create a negative situation that will come back at you. And the way spiritual life works is if you keep doing this day after day after day after day, you are cleaning up eons worth of stuff that is coming at you simply by not getting angry at it, by responding to it with negativity and a closed heart. Open to what life brings you, take on the challenge, recognize it for what it is, and you will grow and grow and grow. And what does growing mean? It means you are open to not creating karma. You are open to living a life of engagement, conscious engagement, every day. And you can look at yourself. You guys were talking last time about a relative who was creating problems. Everybody has that. Most of us are born with relatives who create problems, and we can't get away from it. And if you want true spiritual lessons, look to your family, because I don't think there's anything closer than those struggles. And if you can do that with love, and you can do it with an open heart, and you can really respond well to those people who you're really close to, who usually tend to create the most problem, what happens is you have enormous transformation internally. You really grow as a human being. And growing as a human being, again, means one thing. You are consciously responsive to the life around you. That's all it is. Consciously responsible. And when you're consciously responsible, life gives you what you give it, which is consciousness and response. And it can be beautiful. It can be truly, exquisitely beautiful. It gives you what you give it. And it always does that. And where can you learn this? At the very seed form? In the very seed mechanism of your life? Meditation. Sitting absolutely still in front of, if you will, a photograph of Rudy or Nityananda or whoever, sitting there with your eyes open and watching you with nothing else going on. And watch what comes up. And it's amazing. Because in that nothingness, more drama, more karmic stuff can come up than even in relating to somebody out there who's throwing stuff at you. It's just in you. It just keeps rising up. This unbelievable, surprising anger, frustration, tension, backache, feet ache, emotion. It's just... And you're sitting there doing nothing. That's where you get the ground rules. That's where you learn, now I can do this. Okay. And again, what do? You forgive yourself for it happening. You forgive yourself as it happens. And as you forgive yourself, that muscle will start to play itself out in your life. And when you're with people who start to throw stuff at you that's just like the stuff that comes up inside you, you will recognize it in the same way because you're attuned to it. You will look at it and you will go, I can forgive this. I can allow this. I can recognize this for what it is. I don't have to react to it with tension and anger and misery and all of my normal patterning. I can just look at it and go, I get it. I truly get it. It's just trying to teach me. And you just take this simple breath and you go, And it dissipates. It changes. It alters. And it becomes a testing ground for your evolution as a spiritual being. And it goes on all day long and all night long. And in the end, you become this saintly person. Meaning, you don't throw a lot of shit at people. And people will think of you as saintly. They say, you're always so nice. You always make me feel good. You know, I always enjoy being with you. That kind of stuff. That's what you'll start to hear from people. And they'll say it because you're a loving, forgiving, accepting, allowing human being. It's a great thing to become. And in truth, it's what you already are, except you're not practiced at it. You're practiced at not being conscious. You're practiced at forgetting all of that stuff. You're practiced at letting all the bullshit happen instead of taking charge. Taking charge is the discipline of spiritual work, saying, I can do this. And then you allow this thing to happen, and you grow, and you become this really wonderful person, And that is not the goal of all of this, but it's a wonderful part of the process. It's a wonderful part of this process. And this muscle of forgiveness and allowing and surrender is ultimately the key to a recognition that not only does it not matter very much, you don't matter very much. That's the real secret to all this. You don't matter all that much. You're so preoccupied with how much it means to you and what you're doing and how you're growing and what's happening to you, it kind of doesn't matter. And you get to this place inside where you see things in such a big way that you go, oh, okay. And as you let go of it mattering, then you really connect to the vastness of truth, of the truth of your life, that you're not that important, that nobody's that important, that everybody is part of this extraordinary, beautiful thing, and that by allowing it to be what it is, you discover your relationship to it, and basically go far enough and deep enough, and you realize that there's no you having a relationship. I won't go too deeply into this. It just is. It just is. And you are it. You are alive in it. This is the universe at work. And you, in your surrender, will come to know it in ways that people who don't surrender will not. So, whether you had a good class tonight or a bad class, quote unquote, whether this was easy for you or hard for you, whether you were happy to be here or wish you were somewhere else, whatever it is, it's okay. It's truly okay. Accept it. Allow it. Thank you for coming. I appreciate your presence here. It's a gift to the atmosphere. It's a gift to New York City, believe it or not. It's a gift to the world, and it's a great thing that you give yourself over to this because it's what the world needs more than anything else. So thank you for doing it, and God bless. Does anyone have questions?
I'm just wondering about, I keep having my swallow, when I meditate alone or in class I am. And I've just realized I've been meditating for 17 years, and I still feel like a total beginner, and feel like I should come to the initiation class every time. I feel like I'm stuck here, and I try, and sometimes it works, and sometimes it doesn't, and I have new patience for it, and I want to know what I can do, or if it's just something that's like a physical thing.
Well, it's not physical. Throat chakra really is presentation. It's your presentation of yourself to the world. Mostly we think of it as vocal, but it represents every aspect of our presentation. And I would venture to say there's a lot about you that's involved in presentation and how you're seen, how you're judged, how you're appreciated or not appreciated. All of those things come from here. When that is when that gets obstructed, when it's tight and tense because it wants so badly, it becomes hard to swallow, it becomes congested. And the only thing you can do, honestly, is pay attention. Don't judge it, and don't say I'm a bad person or a failure, because 17 years is nothing. It'd be 40 years to figure almost anything out spiritually. It takes a lifetime. Rudy said it. It's a life's work, because it takes that long to get it, to really get it, except for a few people. You know, a few people who make us all embarrassed, you know, get it like that. But the rest of us keep doing this. And then this thing, as you watch it, as you pay attention to it, but not mental attention, not your mind judging it, but you just sit back and just observe it in its tightness. No judgment, no anything. You just...
It's very connected to the heart, though, and it also feels that feeling when you've blown up too many balloons?
Yeah, right.
It feels like that.
No, it's a very, how can I say, exercised part of who you are. On one level, it's a big muscle in you because you've worked it a lot and you play it a lot. But it is the journey, truly the journey to your heart. Rudy had a really interesting exercise for the throat chakra, and I'll tell you just what it is. Open your heart and let all of that tension drain into it. It's sometimes hard, but just feel wherever you can love for anything, anyone. It doesn't matter. Just feel the love, the opening, the sense of comfort, and then watch what happens. This thing starts to open, and this thing drains into it, the pus of it, the drama of it, just drains in, and it just gets washed away in love and acceptance. It's one approach. The other is really just observe this with no judgment. Just sit there. And what happens is it just starts to relax.
And can I ask you one other thing about patience, about how to grow patience when you, I was born without it, and it's very unfortunate, but I really feel like I need to grow it right now in my life, and I have no idea how.
Well, I mean, patience is very much about living in the moment and trusting it. Impatience is about wanting the future to happen faster. Not only happen faster, but under the, your very specific guidelines. And it doesn't happen that way. And it cannot happen that way. Because never in your life have you made the future happen faster. Or even better, really. I mean, you can make it somewhat better by being present in this moment. By being present in this moment and really relaxed, the moment takes care of itself. When you are not trusting this moment, you are engineering something, this moment is in a state of tension. And it builds to the next moment, which then therefore is in a state of tension. And all the movement toward future becomes a basis for lots of congestion. So the only way to move through that is to finally go, I can't do anything about this. Truly, I cannot do anything. I know you think you can, but you can't. The best thing you can do is open to the present. And then the miracle of opening to the present is that something will arrive, because it always does, always. Something will arrive. Even if you sit there for an hour and nothing comes, let it be nothing. It's not such a bad thing. At some point, something arrives. And then you have to do this. You have to go, you open to that arrival. If you go like that, sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. But if you go and you grab it because it finally came, you're just back into tension. You're back into holding on to the thing which will build the future.
Isn't the real way to appreciate something by engineering it and seeing it from its genesis towards?
You think you're engineering it and you're owning something happening. But I'm telling you, if you really surrender, I know this as a writer, thing you're looking for, that you want to build, that wants to be built, really, that you've been allowed to be partaking of, the thing that wants to happen arises of its own nature. And when I'm looking, you know, when I'm trying to do it myself, I'm always making the wrong choices. And if I relax, the right choice comes to clarity.
There are right or wrong choices.
Well, in writing a movie, let's say, which is the one area that I really kind of understand, there are choices which will derail you for a week or a month or a year. And there are choices which will build the script. And you can tell, at least I can now, when one has arrived, that is, and when one arrives at, oh, I don't know if I should do this way or that way, it gets really kind of congested inside. And sometimes that's all you get, and then you really have to build it based on that stuff. But if you really, really open, something comes in when you need it, truly when you need it, and it tells you where to go and what to do. It is deeply directed. And it is, you know it because the universe is talking to you, and there's no question mark in your mind.
Isn't that a deeply fearful moment?
Fearful? No, yeah. It's beautiful beyond belief. Beautiful.
But that means you can be there all the time.
Or not. You can be there when you have to be there. You have to often earn that moment. But you have to be available to what comes, and you have to know what it is that's emerging, what's arriving, and you sit down and you really open to that thing and you do the best with it that you can. But when you're really working as a human being and you're really moving towards something, let's say you're a painter, okay? It's really great when you're a painter because there's the painting and you're putting something on the canvas and it doesn't work. You look at it and you go, or let's say you've got 90% of the canvas and it's not coming together and you don't know what to do and it's all been kind of you trying to do, or you're trying the best you can, and then you're standing there looking, being very quiet and very non-judgmental, and something comes to you, and it says, dip the brush in the ochre paint, go over to the left part of the canvas, and just do this. And you do that, and suddenly you look at your painting, and it is perfect. It
has found its balance, it has found its harmony, it has found its perfect expression. How you knew to do that, you don't even know. You don't know, but it comes at you from somewhere. My experience is, and I've had many different kinds, some of my work is motivated by this deeper force through, from conception to the last moment.
How can that be called conscious, though?
Because you're watching it happen in a state of a kind of awe. You're just being grateful. Moment to moment, you're going, yes, 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 yes. You're watching, you can't work fast enough to bring it in. And there are other times where you're given the assignment, if you will, the job, and you're given, yes, and you do your best you can, and you really, and you end up in a kind of despair, and a kind of I don't know state where I don't understand anything. And then what happens is, in that despair, something opens up in you, and it gives you the very thing you were looking for. But you needed to get to that depth of not knowing, of being truly ready to give up, meaning surrender, for the truth of what you've done to reveal itself. And I've had scripts that were saved in the last scene. But suddenly I understood what I had been doing all along. And I didn't know it until it was all done, and the universe in its grace told me. I'm telling you, there's a process to all of this, and impatience even fits into it, because a lot of the time your impatience is building you to a place of absolute despair or frustration. And it's often in that place that the thing you're looking for arrives. But for some people, it just, at certain circumstances, it just arrives quite by itself. And again, your individual meditation will be exactly the same thing. Sometimes you will sit in a state of grace, and sometimes you will feel no grace, but the struggle through it will get to grace. And if you know that, you'll be able to deal with life much better than if you're always in a state of frustration and never get to grace. Okay.
Thank you.
That's a lot of time. Thank you guys again for coming, and we'll send out an email. Blanche is sending out an email tomorrow, probably, about the next few weeks. Blanche will be teaching in the country this weekend. The next 2 weeks after that, there will be no class on Sundays. I'll be in California. And then we'll be coming back here. The next class here will be on the 14th upstate. And then I'll try to figure out city classes from there. Thank you guys for coming.